Do you have a podcast that you're passionate about? Are you looking for a professional studio to help bring your vision to life? Then look no further than Crux Media Group Studios. Located at 903 West Evans Street in Florence, South Carolina, Crux Media Group Studios is a full-service podcast studio that offers recording, editing, consultation, live streaming video recording, and more. We have state-of-the-art equipment and a team of experienced professionals who can help you create a podcast that is professional, polished, and engaging. Whether you're a first-time podcaster or a seasoned pro, Crux Media Group Studios can help you take your podcast to the next level. Contact us today at 843-407-1673 to learn more about our services and to schedule a consultation.
And welcome to the Relationship Status Podcast. I'm your boy Yusuf in the building. And remember, you can find us on all podcast platforms. Remember to like, share, follow, and 5-star rate. And if you want to join the conversation, make sure to email us, relstatpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget the advice group. It's a private group. You can go in there. It's a lot of foolishness going on in there. Go ahead and join the Relationship Status Podcast advice group on Facebook. Yep, you got to get let in. So you got to answer a question there. But I am here. We are privileged to have two of the best in the PD in the world. We're going to get the one, then we're going to get the other. First one over here, you've seen her before on the show. She is, we might have to say you're a host now. You're going to, Kiki Banjo.
How y'all doing?
Yeah, she changes her name. We know how it go. When's the next change coming?
You don't know. Be next month.
Next month. Okay. We wait, anticipating as usual. How's everything been?
It's been okay. I'm here. I'm present.
And accounted for.
I'm counted for. I'm ready to talk my shit.
Ready to talk. All right. And then over to our left. This is kind of a grandiose introduction. He is new to the Crux Media podcast family as of today. Yeah, Mr. Antoine Lai, how you doing, sir?
Man, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be
happy to have you,
team, bro.
Man, happy to have you on the team. Like, and it's not, it's just like a great, I don't like to call it a team, I like to call it a family. Right. So it's great to have you a part of the family. We always encouraging each other. We always kind of on each other's posts and helping each other out. So that's definitely great. Glad to have you in the mix. Excited. Give us name of your podcast and what can people expect from your show?
So Philosophy Talk Show, we're big on introspection. Like, we want to know what people are thinking, why they think them that way, on different subjects. I feel like intellect is a thing that's missing.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that's something that I enjoy. Like, I enjoy intellectual conversations. I love rag to riches stories, inspirational stories. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be chopping it up with people about their philosophy.
Okay.
You know, different things. Life, like philosophy, but everybody got their own.
Everybody has their own way they live their life and stuff like that. So what brought you to wanting to do a podcast? Like,
I think not having the space or finding it hard to find people to like really talk to on like the level that I want to speak.
Okay.
You know, like I don't really bump into it. I don't speak a lot anyway.
Mm.
But I don't really, it's hard to bump into people and y'all just having a real good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to try to create that space for people to be involved in and people to be able to watch and create their own thoughts on.
And kind of to get involved with them. They may bring them to speak up or find something within themselves to get them going.
Yeah.
Man, so I can't wait for episode one.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I can't wait for episode one. Hopefully that comes out soon. Yeah. So make sure y'all stay tuned. We'll be dropping that information. Probably might put it in the description of this episode when you can catch his first episode. But how's your week been, man? It's a big Sunday. How was this week for you?
Man, last week was crazy. This is a part of it, though, you know, like being in Crux Media. That's how you pronounce it, right?
Yeah, Crux Media. Everybody messes it up. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, so that being a part of that was a part of how my week went. Mm-hmm. So you can only imagine the things that led up to it, you know, books.
Well, let me say this, like, for all of the people, and I'm, you know, one of the founders of Crux Media, and And very few people I've talked to about podcasts have had the excitement that he, like, that he, and it was more like an organic thing. We got on the phone. He was actually talking about something totally different. And as I'm going over stuff with him, he's like, yo, this is what I've been, oh my.
Yeah.
And from there, it was like, and then some people, they go through the contracts. They go, cause we are a business. We are actual business. So yes, we do. We hold ourselves to a standard, as much as we hold our podcast is to a standard. And the thing I liked about the interaction with you was you could tell when people really want to do something. They don't wait. People talk about, hey man, I'm gonna open this business, or I'm a, you know how many podcast meetings we have with people that want a podcast, and it don't get, we send them all the information, all the things that they need. You know, we don't need to go over all of that stuff on it, but we send them everything that they need to do on their end. Right. And either we never hear back from them again, or we reach out to talk to them and we don't hear back. And it's like you could have kept, and it almost puts us in a position where we're like, we need to start charging for these consults,
right,
because we're taking time out to come and do these things. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we solicited you.
Right.
It's like you reached out to us. Mm-hmm. So if you reached out to us to do a show, so to get to your point, like to get to you, it was like we talked, I think it might have been Tuesday on the phone. We met Tuesday. We had some emails back and forth. We had to get some verbiage right. We did that. Signed, sealed, and here we are.
Yeah.
In 4 days. And then, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when people want to do something,
they'll do it.
And I think that it gets, especially with podcasting, it's so easy to get in and out that, and then people think they want to do it until it's time to do it. And then it's either the money aspect of it. Well, no matter how you choose to do it, there's a cost. Mm-hmm. If you choose to do it yourself, guess what you got to do? All this fire stuff you see in here, mm-hmm, from the cameras to the microphones to everything, you got to pay for yourself.
Right.
Then you got to do the work yourself. And then so then you end up fizzling out there. And then we say, hey, you got to charge. Oh, well, why you got to charge that much? What? Like, we're providing a service. And so I just think that some of the mentality when it comes to podcasting is, I want to do it until I got to do it. Mm-hmm. And so for you to have the level of excitement you had, and then just for it, for the action to happen so quickly, it shows I want to work with people that want to do that. You know what I'm saying? And right now on our network, we all we have are people that move in that sense. And I think that that's good when you have a lot of like-minded people, a lot of like-minded podcasters. It helps to move your business a whole lot further. Because I'd rather have a minimal amount of good people than a whole bunch of mediocre people, because then your turnover is so crazy of people that's in and out. So, man, thank you for being on. And so you say you're also an author. You got a kid's book. Let me see that, that thing.
This is dope.
Yeah, man. Hey.
That's cool.
Yeah. Al the Acorn, I am a mighty oak.
Al the Acorn, I am a mighty oak. So what do we, what is this about here?
So that's about, it's a children's book ages. Number one, I am a independently published author. So that's a credential that it took me 2 years to get.
Here's the thing. We need to talk after this about
all
that.
Right. All right.
We need to talk about that.
I got you, bro. I got you.
Because we actually have an author on our network.
Word.
She writes books of poetry, but she going through so much to get her first book done.
Word.
And she has a whole second book done, but publishing and all that stuff.
Man.
She doesn't want to go through that whole process. So we definitely got to talk. Yeah. But yeah.
Can we see this right?
Yeah.
No, they can't see that.
Oh, okay.
No, you good.
Okay.
You
yeah. So yeah, that's a it's a book that I wanted to give to the kids about a acorn. It's a book for everybody, but if you can teach it to a kid, I don't feel like you can you really know what you're talking about until you can teach it to a kid, you know? So it's about an acorn that believed in himself to become an oak tree. So it's about self-belief, you know? So it was able to create a character. An acorn is naturally brown, you know? I feel like that self-representation plays a part into that too. So a brown character with the potential of an oak tree, an acorn is an inch tall, and it can grow to 144 feet. That's a lot of potential that an acorn packing, and we have more potential within us, and I think it's important for our kids to know that.
That's dope. That's dope. That's dope. And where can they find the book?
So you can find it right now. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Walmart websites. We also sell the copies at Courtney's Cupcakery. It's a book called, it's a story called Jack Books, I want to say that's coming downtown Florence. It's a new independent bookstore. So I'm looking to get it in there too. So those are ways, avenues you can get it.
Okay. All right. We're going to go ahead and drop that link in our in the description of this episode as well. Go ahead and support. And Al the Acorn. Hey, go ahead and get that book today. I'm probably going to get a copy from you. If you got something in the car, I'm going to go ahead and pay you for a copy today. Okay. So I got some kids in the back. And you see them around here all the time.
I got them, bro.
Yeah.
I got them.
So like, we're going to get into a little bit of it. My week a little bit. It's been a while since we recorded an episode, and I was hoping CL and Neek would be here today, but they're out. They had some things come up, so I had to call in the reinforcements. But there is an update. We've been in the show 6 years of this show, and going on year 7, and I've consistently talked about my kids and my exes, and this is a relationship show, so all of that matters. And I have a daughter that we didn't have contact with. And she reached out to me, and I had my kids go with me up to see her. And we had an amazing time. I hadn't seen her since she was like 6. Dang. And she's 18. She's a freshman at Howard. Her name is Niara. And like, we went up, and it's the first time ever since my kids, I had all of them together. So it was really emotional for me. My son, Amir, who has his podcast, check it out, Kid Life Podcast. He was up super over the roof because he's never met her. So, and he's really big on family and stuff like that. So it was just dope. And so to all the fathers out there who have issues and stuff, like, don't give up. That day's going to come, and don't be afraid of having that hard conversation, because it was hard. It was 3 hours of a hard conversation on the phone, having to answer questions. And then not only that, but in the conversation, it was something I went into it with. I said I was not going to blame her mom for anything, no matter what I felt. It was about my decisions and what I chose to do. No, and then however she took it, I just could not put a negative light on her mom. I wanted to make sure, even though we have some disagreements, I wanted to make sure that it was centered around her and the things I felt like I could have done more of. And if you're willing to have that conversation, please just wait for your child, because they're going to call you. And I think a lot of people think it's hopeless because of their situation, because of what they had going on. It's hopeless for them. It's not, because that day's going to come. Because, like, she reached out to my other daughter, who then sent me the number and said, she said, call her. And it was just that simple. And 3 hours later, we planning to go to D.C. I think the phone call happened like Thursday. Like that Monday, I got the kids, was in the car, in the truck, headed to D.C. Now, spent a whole lot of money, because D.C. is expensive, and where they wanted to go, we want to go here. But after that, I think I've spoken to her every day since, and it's been about a month and a half now. There's not a day I have not spoken to her. So just an update for those people who really listen to the show. Man, over time.
That's amazing, that's good. Bro, for yeah. real.
So just don't give up, fathers, or even moms, if you don't have custody, if you haven't seen your child, right, or whatever, don't give up. Just keep, I know they say hope is a drug, but keep that, because you don't want to give up and then it happens and you're not prepared for the moment. And I felt like I was extremely prepared for the moment to happen. So she's even talking about coming to visit. Like, it's been a whirlwind of stuff in like a month. It's almost like trying to catch up, you know, 14 years in a short period of time. So, you know, I'm just trying to do my best to keep moving forward with that. So but let's get into this episode. Something interesting, of course, our Facebook family is super dope. They always sending us stuff to talk about. Now, I know you're not a relationship dude, but this is about the 5 stages of love as put forth by Sai Las. She posted this actually 2 years ago, November 9th, 2022. And she said that most couples don't make it past stage 3. So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the different stages. So the 5 stages are: 1, passion and fun; 2, getting serious; 3, disillusionment; 4, deeper understanding; and then 5, moving forward together. Now, she says most couples don't get out of stage 3, which is disillusionment. And we'll come back to that, because I think that is, I kind of agreed with her in that comment. All right. So passion and fun. This is pretty much the honeymoon stage. So what about the honeymoon stage makes it like so, like, what makes it like that fire in you?
Can I throw a disclaimer out real quick?
Go ahead. Forgot to get to your disclaimer.
Yeah, so you said I ain't a relationship dude. I am. I just don't speak about relationships.
Okay, speak about relationships. We'll clarify that. Don't speak about relationships publicly.
Yeah, because that's my thing. But yeah, let's get into it now.
Okay, so what is it about and I'll ask you first, Kiki, what is it about the honeymoon phase that just makes it like so, like you in that oh, I want to talk to him all the time. Oh, I want to talk to her all the time. Like, what makes it so exhilarating?
Because you meet the best version of them. They give you that representative. So you see the best version of that person right then.
But don't you think kind of sort of like that's kind of the issue with dating today is the statement you just made. You're meeting the representative. So everybody now is going into everything that they a relationship, whether even if it's a business relationship, we ain't even talking. Let's take it out of romance. Even if it's business or friendship, I'm going into it looking for red flags, like the reasons why I want out. So doesn't that make like the honeymoon phase now? Because I'm already thinking that this is not the person that I'm going to be with. Doesn't it diminish the honeymoon phase?
Only if you come in with that mindset. It's all about the mindset you come into it with. If you come in looking for what you don't want that person, and you ain't even healed yet. So we got to get into that in a different conversation.
Okay, but that's I do think people do get into stuff, and they ain't even over.
Yeah,
they ain't even over the last thing.
Over. So it's like, yeah, if you come in looking for red flags, that mean you still got issues you ain't let go of yet. Like you don't even date nobody.
You don't need to date.
Don't do that. Don't go in looking for something to be wrong. That's weird.
But some people turn that as going, I'm just protecting myself. That's how they see it.
You can have boundaries. That's what boundaries are for. Boundaries are for protection.
But I think that's another thing. People don't know the difference between boundaries. They don't know the boundaries, non-negotiables, and red flags.
Yeah, they don't know the difference between any of them.
So what's the difference?
I think a boundary is things that you put up this wall of like, for example, I can't articulate the actual meaning, but I know in examples. Mm-hmm. In an example, a boundary for me is don't pop up out of my house.
Right. I feel
you on that. You know, call me. I'm not saying you can't come. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying announce that you're on the way.
Right.
Call if you're on the way. Right. That's a boundary. Mm-hmm. All right. Absolutely. A non-negotiable would be don't curse at me. It's not a boundary. That's a non-negotiable for me. Right. A boundary is something that you may cross, and then I have to then put you back outside of that. Like you might pop up at my house one day, and my anger, we might have never had a conversation about it, and so my anger might go. But hey, look, we didn't have a discussion about this, but I would really appreciate it if you called before you come. Right. I get your sentiment. You want to surprise me with, you know, whatever gift this is you brought me. You want to show up in a trench coat, nothing on. I get it. But, you know, this is one of my boundaries I would prefer if you call. Right. Now, a non-negotiable, once we arguing, and I got this from my marriage, the way she used to speak to me, I don't take that off nobody at all now in a relationship. I do not. The second you curse, I'm out. I'm out. Like, I shut down, I don't say nothing, and I'm probably out of this altogether. So I think the non-negotiables is the things that, like, it's a hardline stance that you just don't take. A boundary is something more so that people might be able to cross, but through conversation, they'll then respect that particular aspect of it. And I think that not enough people have enough conversations about their boundaries or non-negotiables prior to going deeper or further past stage one of the love phase. And I think that that's where we end up, and that's why kind of stuff ends up. And then red flags is just, I just think that's a hot button word that's been used over and over, because if I see another social media post about red flags, I'm done. And I think that sometimes that's why people, you know, we have a really good, I would say we have a really good followership, mm-hmm. and people listenership and viewership for this show. And I think it's all because of the way that we've intentionally not tried to make this show a viral thing. So where whatever they're talking about on social media, this is what we're going to talk about.
Right.
Like even today's topic, if I say this is something from like 2 years ago that this person wrote that somebody just happened to send to us. So it's not something that's current. Like we're not going to be here talking about 10 red flags or, you know, flying somebody out, right. Or, you know, it's more so about we want to make it a little bit deeper of a conversation. So yeah I think that red flag stuff, like I said, for the viral thing. So I want Mr. Lied.
Okay.
What's your favorite memory in the honeymoon stage? You have a favorite memory?
Let me see. My favorite memory in the honeymoon stage. Shoot, how long is the honeymoon stage usually?
I think it varies.
Yeah, that's why.
I think it varies from person to person. Yeah. Yeah, I think for each individual that you deal with, I think it varies.
I'm still in the honeymoon stage.
You still in the honeymoon stage?
Right. Yeah. So like that's why I'm saying.
Yeah, that's good though.
And like that's great.
Years, yo.
But
that's great.
That is amazing. Because I think it's just a matter of you and your significant other being consistent, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's a part of it. It's just allowing growth in the relationship. You know, like you can't expect it to be exactly like it is. I feel like every phase of relationship has a honeymoon stage because it's new. You know, like if you allow growth in the relationship, like it's going to be good times and bad times. But the honeymoon stage to me just is like the excitement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as you grow, what excites you changes, I feel. You know,
that's the perfect way of putting it. Yeah. Because I think people don't think like that.
They don't.
I don't know.
No, I wouldn't say all people because we try to stay away from absolute statements.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't look at the relationship between the two people, it grows. And I like the way you said that word. That word growth is a thing. And people mistake growth for change.
Right. Evolving.
Yeah, but growth, evolution, everything, but everything evolves. Right. Your friendships evolve. Your business evolves.
Something's wrong.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that's what be happening. You know, like when that relationship or when that honeymoon stage like is fizzling out or something like that. Maybe for some people, I feel like they don't really look at the next phase of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then how that next phase fits into the relationship where it worked for both people in a way that it's exciting for both of y'all.
Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of segues into the next thing, which is the next part of getting serious. Because this honeymoon, like, usually that's the getting to know you. That's the, I'm excited to talk and this and that. So now we're going to a deeper level. Now, hey, let's, you know, there's some, I want to be with you and no one else. I know people date differently. All right, so some people, they can date multiple people. Mm-hmm. And some people, they can only date one. They like, hey, look, this is my boundary is I only date one person at a time. Mm-hmm. We may not be in a relationship, but I only date one person at a time. Mm-hmm. And so I guess our understanding there. So now when we get serious, how does it go? How do we know the difference between the infatuation and actual love in this stage? Because it's really easy to muddle that line, like, so how do we, Kiki, how do you think you kind of gauge between the two? Or what's the best way to gauge between the two?
The best way to gauge is really with conversation. Like, I feel like this is getting serious. You start that off with a conversation. Mm-hmm. You don't just assume just because you feel that way that the other part is feeling that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get that little imbalance and we got ourselves questioning. So mm-hmm. It starts with a conversation. I think this is getting further. Like, what we doing? Don't be weird.
I would say as a guy at times, that's one of the conversations I don't be ready for. Mm-hmm. Is the, what we doing?
Yeah.
Like, hold on now. Like, I thought we established what we was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to where we were? Cause like some people, they be like, hey, look, I don't want a relationship. I just want to have a good time.
Right.
And then, okay, good, let's have a good time. And then after a couple of months, good time turns into what are we doing? Wait, hold on. I thought good time was what we were doing.
And that's why I think it all has to be a conversation. Like, it has to be.
But
and
if we had the conversation, if we had the conversation in the beginning, though.
If you had a conversation in the beginning, that doesn't mean that person is allowed to change their mind. That goes for men and women. Just have that conversation. If that person's like, well, I just want to keep having a good time with you. So now you know, well, I can't be here with this. I can't be here with this then, so I got to go.
Okay.
That's when you know them separate.
Okay. I
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I get
nobody's
it.
Nobody's saying like, oh, well, now I want to do it, so you forcing me to do it. That's weird. Why are you being weird?
Some people will go, hey, I'm having such a good time. What's the harm in being in a relationship with this person when I have a good time and not understanding that this person is trying to be, is trying to get serious. You're not. So if that's the case, it's not aligning and it's kind of destined to fail, really, because you really don't want to be in a relationship. And this thing has grown, as you put it. So it's a good question for you. I'm gonna ask you a good question. What does commitment mean to you? A commitment in a relationship.
In a relationship.
Yeah.
A commitment. Okay, so that's a good question, because I ask people this question sometimes. I ask it in a different way. But when you commit, I feel like there's no commitment without agreeing on what it is that y'all committed to. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I feel like that the commitment comes after the agreement. Like, this is what, this is how we feel we, this relationship would work best for us. This works for me. This works for you. This is how this thing mesh. I'm committed to X, Y, Z. I mean, I can agree that this is how I, this is what I feel like is going to be disrespectful to the household. This is what I feel like when y'all have these agreements, y'all establish these agreements. When you commit, you're committing to those agreements to that person. And like, I feel like as you grow and as y'all make your mistakes and stuff like that, because that happens.
That happens, yeah.
You know, so when as you make your mistakes, it's either like y'all willing to have the conversation and see if growth can come from this mistake, or if that's just something, that's one of those boundaries or one of those
non-negotiables.
Non-negotiables that should have been negotiated in the agreement phase.
Oh, that's a good, you know, that's a, it should have been negotiated in the agreement. That's a good way to put it.
But that's what you, I feel like commitment is just you giving your word or your ring or like whatever it is that you given in exchange for this commitment to these agreements. I feel like that's, hopefully I answered the question like what commitment is to me. But that, I think a commitment is just you actually committing to what it is that y'all agreed on in y'all relationship, like what y'all feel like is going to work the best. Because like you said, for relationship, even if it's business, you know what I'm saying? If we got a business relationship, like you and I, we went back and forth in emails to find an agreement on what it
exactly
is that we, you know, and then now the commitment was made and now I'm here, you know, so that would give an example of
underneath the terms that were agreed upon.
Underneath what we agreed on. And not saying that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not saying that like a relationship is contractual.
No, well, but it isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think there's different. It's kind of different. I know when people get married, they it's a contract. They feel like.
But I'm thinking. I mean it more metaphorically. I think it's a contract in a sense of, especially if you're saying, especially when you said
emotional
contract, and it's an emotional contract. Mm-hmm. If we're sitting down and we're agreeing, right? So we're discussing. We have now gotten to the point. We're in the serious phase. We're in phase two. We want to make this thing serious. So now, what is it? What are our, what is the contract? What are we committing to?
What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we committing to?
Yeah.
And I think in my past, I've been very poor at articulating what I want. And I usually just go, okay, what do you want? Okay, cool. All right, that's what we do. And there is no I'm agreeing to whatever they said. There is no negotiation throughout the situation because I'm agreeing just to what they.
So that's automatically like, it ain't no balance.
There's no balance in the relationship. And so now what ends up happening is, and this is in a lot of my past relationships, what ends up happening is I end up slower and slower being more unattracted to, losing feelings for, because I feel like my portion of the relationship is my, what I need is not being met. Although I'm meeting all these other needs when I didn't articulate in the first place what I actually needed from her. I didn't negotiate that in the beginning. Yeah. And I feel like I can't bring it back up because I didn't say nothing before.
But you know what would be the best though? Like the best is when, not saying it always happened like that, but like, when you don't have to say it, like it's just automatic, like because y'all just mesh like that, y'all fit so well.
And the sugar giver, and then they mesh.
Yeah, so like when you ain't gotta say nothing, but it's like two sides. I always see things from multiple sides, so it'd be two sides to it. People just gotta figure out what works best for them, you know. But yeah, I do feel like that's it.
Yeah, I mean,
you need an empath, you said.
Huh?
You need an empath.
I need an empath?
You need an empath.
What do you mean? I don't think I need an empath.
I don't need an empath.
Huh?
Because if you tend to do that and like put yourself, neglect yourself. You need somebody that can pick up on that. You get what I'm saying, well, though?
I've just always been more of a
person that can be like, he ain't did blah 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 for himself, blah, blah. You know, that can like pick up. You know what I mean?
Well, I dealt with one or two women like that who really kind of did for me,
and then encourage you to do that for yourself as
well. And one of them would. She would go out of her way like to be like, hey, why don't you just. The kids are going. Are you going to have your kids? No. Well, just don't be bothered. Just go over here. I'll pay for you to go to this, that, and the mm-hmm. third, and just go. And that was cool. But I always feel like, in those senses, I always end up feeling like, because I'm more of a giver than a taker. Excuse me. I always feel like I'm taking something, and I always feel there's always like a level of guilt in me when I'm doing that. But I do understand that I probably need to say something, but you say empath, that'll work. I can take that.
Do you feel like he needs an empath or somebody that's just really paying attention?
That too. You need somebody who pays like attention to. You need somebody who's detail oriented too.
There ain't too many of them out there.
Yeah, like detail oriented.
It might be a lot. They just spread out.
It just spread out.
It might be a lot of them. They ain't in the same space.
There's a few and far between.
Yeah, it's like, because shoot, two is a lot when all you need is one.
True.
You know, so.
True. True. Hey, no, but it is. They could be all spread out. Now, it's stage three is one I wanted to get to because I think a lot of people go through stage three. And that is, and my thing is messing up. I'm on stage three. Open. When technology fails you. All right. Stage three, disillusionment. She says that unfortunately, this is the stage where couples break up. Things start to feel off. You are feeling stuck with life's responsibilities, paying bills, maybe kids, and a lot of things to worry about. Everything has turned into a routine at this stage. You start to wonder what happened to all the cuddles, the kisses, the romance, and love. You feel like your partner is taking you for granted. Small things you didn't notice start to annoy you. Constant arguments are taking the place of romance. You have mixed feelings, which make you doubt if you even made the right choice. You may even start resenting each other. This is when most couples break up. Do you think that that's the case? I'll ask you, Kiki, what is your... In that sense,
yeah, that's the truth. That's where most people like fall apart when life start like when real life hits them. Like this is who this person is, mm-hmm. especially at this stage in life, because we all have that ugly stage, right? And so this is who this person is, and you have to figure out how can I navigate this stage of this person if that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that people end up in this disillusion stage because they're not because and actually and I want to ask you this because you said that you're still in your honeymoon phase because as your relationship grew, I love the word of growth and I love the way you worded that, but as it grew, y'all made the adjustments to deal with the growth. Do you think that that's what it is here? Like they said, kids came into play and bills had to be paid because now we living together. And so if life becomes a routine, so do you think that what can help couples? Like, do you think that that's a real thing? Like, is it that people are just not making the choice to recognize that things have gotten to this point?
Yeah, I think you sharing responsibilities on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. And like when you haven't had to share responsibilities, then it's a certain part of a person that you don't even know yet, for real. Okay. So how responsible are they with these things? Like it puts me in the mind of somebody I have said somewhere, they say like before you have kids, have a plant. Mm-hmm. See if you can take care of a plant. And then if you can take care of that plant, get a pet. And see if you can take care of that pet, something that's dependent mm-hmm. on you. And it just makes sense to me just to have those gradual stages, like a plant. Like some people don't care if they plant die. Some people, yeah. I mean, but it's life though, you know what yes. I mean? Then a pet and yes. then, you know, kids, you know? So I feel like by people having to share more responsibility together, a routine actually is beneficial. Mm. When you got that amount of responsibilities together. Mm-hmm. Now, if you add excitement into that routine, or like you find that space to where some people do dates once a week to keep their joint new, mm-hmm. or they go on a trip every quarter, like they do what it is they need to do. Cause the same things ain't the same. I feel like the same exact things shouldn't excite you
because you've experienced it.
You've experienced. So that's just like eating steak every single day for the rest. It's going to not excite you
yeah.
for down the line, but you might like something else though. You know what I'm saying? So you might like this new experience that y'all haven't experienced instead of looking for the same exact thing in the beginning, because y'all two different people.
But that's the point that I thought you said earlier that made a whole lot of sense. We don't realize, not as societally, I don't think we recognize that we change
all the time,
and the people that we deal with, well, not change, evolve.
Yeah.
And so with the evolution of us of self,
mm-hmm. right,
the same thing happens in the relationship. The relationship evolves and it changes, and it. Mm-hmm. So I just don't. Why is it so? What is a telltale sign, you think, Kiki? What should people look out for, so that when it's like that, like, so they don't end up in that? How could they address the problems? How could they recognize the problem in this particular stage so that they don't break up? And I know counseling is the number one thing people say, but that's a given. So we're not going to say that. What are some things that we could do? If we're in this relationship and it's been 2 years and we're living together and we've gotten to this mundane state, mm-hmm. how should that conversation go? How do we address it? How do we address it as a whole?
Yeah,
I like an opportunity to answer that.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, you start off with clear communication. Like, somebody has to be attentive, you know, attentive enough to know there's been a lack in communication, because that's usually the first thing that starts to falter is the lack of your needs. Because your knees start to change, and you've been doing this one thing for a very long time, right?
Mm.
And your knees start to change. You almost feel obligated not to change them because you've been doing this with this person for so long, you know? And that's when I think the communication starts to falter, when you feel like, I feel obligated to doing this one thing, but I don't need that. It's not working for me anymore.
Mm.
And now I feel obligated, and I don't know what to do, so... Now, I'm feeling away. You get what I'm saying? I'm feeling away, and I'm starting to resent my partner for whatever reason, because I didn't communicate what I needed. And, of course, you said counseling, but I feel like there are other ways to do it. You can reconnect, like, every 2 weeks. Just try to go on a date.
So
every 2 months, have a sit-down. Talk about what you need, you know?
Have a check-in, so to speak.
Have a check-in, you know?
Okay. What you wanted to chime in there?
Yeah, she kind of hit it. Like, I feel like communicating your feelings, like, people be straying away from actually communicating their feelings at that point. And then...
Me.
Yeah. So I feel like that's an issue. Being able to effectively communicate your feelings, because sometimes you can wait too late. You know, been feeling it so long that you implode and then you explode.
Mm.
So I feel like being able to communicate or building that relationship the way y'all feel comfortable... knowing what's on each other's minds and keeping people out of your relationship. Like, I feel like that'd be the biggest
thing. What is that? With the advent, with the blow up of social media, I gotta have people in my relationship.
That's false.
No, that's not the
like, truth. Isn't that? I don't
believe that.
I'm speaking. Look at how many. Please. And it irks my nerves. Like, I was dating somebody one time, and I said after my last relationship, until I'm married, I'm not posting nothing. The next thing you go, the next picture you see of me is like probably my wedding day, and it's probably because my wife want to post it. It ain't because I actually want to do it. I'll post other nonsense all day, every day. But I try to keep my relationships and the people I deal with very close.
Right.
And it's the worst. And I was dating one time. You hiding me?
Yeah, that's usually a thing that people would say.
No, what, how? Yeah. You've met my friends.
Yep.
You've met my family.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's important to me. No, but you ain't post me on social media. That means you got... Mm-hmm. How?
That's just how they think.
Yep.
You know, like, that's just how that particular person think. But I feel like a relationship is so sacred. Like, you should... When you put something on social media... And this is why it's hard for me to really be as effective as I can be. Because... social media is a gift and a curse, you know. And if like the more I realize, the more people you put in your relationship, the more opinions you open that up to, the more perspectives, the more like thoughts of others. Like it's so many different worlds
that just plant just plant seeds.
Yeah.
In your brain, in your mind.
Right. You know, so I feel like when it comes to a relationship, the more you keep people from swaying your emotions when it becomes to your, because they're not going to get the whole picture. They might get a picture, they ain't going to get the whole picture.
Nah.
You know, so people get into it and they might not post nothing, but, you know, people start saying certain things and people you close to, like, bro, I saw this on, like, it's too many opinions on something that's private. Like, why would y'all want other people's opinions on something private?
Yeah.
Like, so.
And to that point, too, let's away from social media, like, you know, your friends don't have to know everything that's going on in your relationship. I think if you got somebody that you confide in, that's one thing. But the people, you know, everybody don't need to know you got some issues going on, if you got issues. Everybody don't need to know what y'all have for dinner. You know, I think that sometimes people, I remember my ex-wife would say, hey, let's go to my mom and dad. We're having this issue. I want to get my mom and dad's thoughts on it. I'd be like, no. Their relationship is not ours. Mm-hmm. What's making them work, because I see a lot of stuff over there I don't like, what's making them work is not going to work for me.
Yeah, y'all got your own fingerprint.
Yeah, and exactly. And so I think I went to, when my marriage was really about to fall apart, I went to my friend, a really close friend of mine. He's been married about 20 something years, 22 years, got married 2000, like 4 or 5, something like that. So about 20 years they're coming up on. And I went to him at the time and I was like, hey, man, this is my problem. He stopped me. He said, I'm gonna give you the same advice my daddy gave me. He said, your marriage ain't mine. Whatever I give you gonna be from my perspective of what works with my wife. Yeah. Your wife is not my wife. And he said, I suggest y'all just go and talk and figure out if y'all could talk this out. And if you need to go to counseling, go ahead to counseling. He was like, but you don't need to seek anything outside of your house.
Mm-hmm. That's a good friend.
Yeah. Oh, no, mm-hmm. I took it to this. Now, CL don't agree with that advice, but because I've said it before on the show, CL don't agree with it. It made sense to me, and it made me look at it like, yeah, you're right. Like, his wife is different than mine. So what works in his marriage is not going to work. So any advice he gives me is going to be from his perspective, which is different than my situation altogether. So, I don't think I've ever, and this might be, I don't know if it's a red flag for people, I don't think I've ever made it out of the disillusionment stage. Like, usually this is where it ends for me, is where it becomes a routine. We stop focusing on each other. And then sometimes, and there's no conversation about it. And I think the women in my past that I've dealt with they haven't been the best communicators, and I'm not the best communicator. And I know that. So like, sometimes you got to force a conversation with me. Or sometimes I try to force a conversation and not really taking the clues as to, yeah, no, there's no more conversation to be had. And so I'm still trying to figure out that balance of when I need to talk and when I need to let the other person open up the conversation. But I haven't made it out. But you, Antoine, have made it to the deeper understanding stage. So it's deeper understanding stage is where I hate it when I mess up. Come on.
And to that, like, I feel like people don't, like, every relationship you get in don't supposed to last forever, I feel like. Like, I feel like it's hard to, like, sometimes people feel like you ain't gonna know if that person ain't good for you till you reach some of them stages.
Yeah.
You know, they might be good at these stages, these first two or these first three, but y'all just ain't that, they not growing with you, or you got to this stage faster than them, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's so much that goes into relationships. That's why it's always like I see so many different perspectives on it that it's hard for me to talk about.
You know, yeah, I get it. And then it's so much of a lot of people's, like, a lot of these things with all social media, because that's where it comes from, a lot of it is, these people are literally trying to say something to get people to watch so that they can, because you get enough views, you get enough likes, you start to get paid off of it. Right. And I get it. And that's cool. Uh-huh. But that doesn't mean that you, as a person, as I'm watching, it's entertaining to me. It's entertainment, right, which is what it's meant to be. It's not meant to be taken as law, I don't think. So when people go all up in arms and they be going after each other in the comments, I'll be like,
"Gotta do that." And man, we don't belong to each other. And if anything teaches us that, it should be death. We don't belong to each other at all. Okay. So you might have a person for a month. You might have somebody for a year. You might have them 5 years. And it's okay. It should always be an open door.
Mm.
You know, we don't belong to each other in any sense. We can't hold on to people. That's not what we're here for.
And some people do get, I think people get stuck in that too. Like the biggest thing is, what is one of those sayings? I don't put all my time in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to stay because they've invested time. Well,
it's yours to invest.
Yeah.
So whose fault is that?
It's yours if you stay.
It was
yours.
A bad investment.
It was a bad investment. And in business, sometimes
you got to know when to pull out.
You got to know when to, yeah.
Hey, give me my, let me get my.
Yeah, let me get out of here.
Claim my time.
5 years, 10 years, whatever the time is that you realize it's time to go.
Yeah, you had to wake up and realize that.
Yeah, it's up to you.
It wasn't on them to say, "Hey, this is what's going on."
Yeah, well,
it's up to you.
They say if you make it past stage three, consider yourself safe and stable in your relationship, and in it for the long term. You begin to see each other for who you really are. You gain a deeper understanding of who your partner's of your partner's problems and insecurities. You acknowledge they have needs, wishes, wants, and insecurities, just like you do. You get better at expressing your needs and desires, and you are more willing to face problems together and work on them. Now you understand true love. You understand that a meaningful and long-lasting relationship is about acceptance, understanding, and compassion. Any disagreement there?
No.
I like the acceptance. Acceptance, understanding, and compassion. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very important ingredient.
Compassion is so important in relationships, though.
Well, I think that isn't that at any stage, though.
Yes. But it's usually the disillusionment stage that we lose it.
Usually, the disillusionment stage. So you think we have it up until that point?
I think you have like compassion for that person until they hit that disillusionment stage, and you tend to lose it after that.
A relationship I had, I remember, we started out everything. Honeymoon phase was great, and she was making an exorbitant amount of money, and I'm a teacher, so I was making whatever amount of money, and so the relationship progressed. 2 years down the line, she ends up losing that job because of some stuff she did, and then never went back. I just never saw her fight to get back to trying to work. She wanted to be like a She wanted to stay at the house. She wanted to stay home. She wanted to find a job that works from home. She didn't want to just take any job. She wanted to find the job and ended up unemployed for maybe about 2 or 3 years during our relationship. We were living together. So we went from this two income household where she was the majority of it. And we had to drastically scale down to a teacher salary for me, her, the kids. And it ended up weighing on me, and because that's what I say in the disillusionment, I was like, then all the little stuff about her just started to bother me, whether it was little physical, like she has a small tooth on the right side of her mouth, like it used to annoy me. It's like, why am I here? Like, it's like, to me, it was one thing led to another that led to another, and I didn't see her. Like, why are you still laughing? Like it's a true state. Like, it's a totally true. Like, every day she would talk to me, I would look at her and go, "Oh my God,
what was blinding you?
Huh?
What was blinding you? Like, why were you blinded? Like, why did that start to bother you so much?
I think it just because I think it was everything else. Because I'm attracted to women who are really driven and really hustle and grind and stuff like that. I'm attracted to busy women, like women who they're after it, getting their own, not necessarily because they don't need me or because I don't want to do, but it's more so, that's the same mindset that I kind of have. I'm always moving on, and I'm always grinding. I'm always trying to do something. Right. And so a woman like that can understand me as a person.
Right.
and the way I carry myself in a relationship, because they can understand that. And I could not, what was bothering me was her lack of work ethic.
Right.
And so once that happened, it was one thing and I think that particular physical attribute was just the symbol of my disdain.
How small, yeah.
Yeah, something so minute and so small could annoy me right. on a level. And it was just, it wasn't about, cause she was a beautiful individual, a beautiful lady, but it's just that one thing was magnified because of right. these other, mm-hmm. Because of the other glaring, that big glaring disparity was you want us to do all these things. You want us to do these things your friends are doing, but you're not helping by like, you know, we got these kids. I think it was my two boys. She had a son that she came to the relationship with, and then I adopted a kid prior to getting in the relationship. And he was, when I adopted Chris, he was like 15. So, you know, going through all of that. So now we got four kids in this house and you not work. It was, so like I said, that one thing just became the symbol for me. And I think I did a lot of not communicating. And so now, then it gave me more excuse to be out the house, which annoyed her because now she's in the house with all the kids. But I'm like, nah, I got to go work. Blaze called me and be like, hey, Yosh, I need you to come. I got an event out here in Florence. I need you to come work the door. Okay. I need you to come for the whole weekend. Okay. So now I'm not home with the kids. So that kind of blew her resentment up in me. Because now I'm not there. But it was like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And right. stuff just started to annoy me. And so then we ended up breaking up, of course, but it was destined to go there. And like I said, it was that disillusionment stage that just kind of, it put us in that place.
Hopefully she don't see this and be like, oh, that's how you really feel?
Oh, no, we've had that discussion on this show. There's an episode. I'm putting the link in the bio. There's an episode, me and her was on the show. What? It was just me and her.
Dang.
We did an episode where we talked about our relationship, the breakdown of it.
Y'all go deep.
What happened? And me and her, it was just me and her on the episode. And we spoke. And I mean, me and her, we cool. Like, she know what I be saying.
Y'all go deep up in this joint, huh?
Yeah, nah. I'm gonna put a link to the episode if y'all want to hear that episode. Because the show's been going on for like 5-6 years now.
That's crazy.
And
what's up, bro?
There was, when we started, was literally at the, this show started at the end of my relationship with her. Mm-hmm. So she was on the show she's been on the show as somebody who was with me at the early. And then we did a show, I think it might have been last year, where we just talked about the breakup and how it happened and stuff like that. And
that's what's up, man.
And so people was like, somebody hit me up, was like, y'all cool. I'm like, nah, I just think when people take accountability for whatever happens in the relationship,
yeah,
both parties can move on.
Yeah, that's real talk.
Without issue. Yes. So for us to be able to sit there and have a conversation, as hurt as she was and as hurt as I was by us breaking up, and as hurt as our kids were about us breaking up, for us to be able to sit there and have a conversation and have a deep, meaningful, like, just conversation about it on air.
On air. That's the thing.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
Different.
And so it's butt left out of there, hugs. Hey, have a safe ride back today. Have a safe ride back today. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was, but I think, but that's because I think not only I've evolved a lot more, because there's been a stage where if you was out, I'm out. We ain't got nothing to talk about. But I felt like people could get something out of us having that conversation, even if it's just, hey, you know what? You can have a conversation with your ex, especially if you have kids together.
Right.
Because you can't you're linked for life. So you can either have conversations with this person, tough conversations. Maybe it's some stuff and some resentment that y'all are holding on to because y'all just haven't discussed it. Because you just haven't talked about it. So talk about it. Get it out there. Get it in there. And you don't need no counselor to talk about nothing. The counselor's there to help you come up with strategies to help you get past it. But there ain't nothing to having a conversation with somebody, and you ain't got to cuss. You ain't got to, you know, your voice might become elevated at times because it was a hurtful thing for you. But for the most part, you know, why can't we discuss it and give the both of us closure? Because I think one thing that annoys me sometimes about people is somebody said, a lot of people believe this. They don't owe anybody any closure, which might be true. But it would be nice. I just think it would be nice if you were to offer some form of closure to the person. Because sometimes a reason why somebody repeats behavior is because they don't know that the behavior they're doing is wrong. They may simply say, hey, this is who I am, you know. Right. I don't know why all these women don't talk to me anymore. Well, that's because nobody has said, hey, you know what? This is over. But, you know, these are the things you did that kind of got me to that point. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think there's some, you don't owe anybody anything, but it would be nice. I think it would be courteous. It would be nice if that was the case. And so for me and her to have that conversation and for us to hash that out, she was able to get some. And mind you, we did it on air, but we had talked prior to. Right. So that wasn't anything. We just repeated a conversation we already had. Right. But it was through that conversation that I was able to see, okay, well, these are the things I need to change about myself, because she gave me her reasons for the deterioration of our relationship, what she thought were those reasons. And then I was able to give her what I thought was those reasons. And I think it was able to give us both, allow us both to move on without holding on to bad behavior that didn't work the first time around.
And that's why I said I had liked that acceptance, mm-hmm. understanding and compassion, because one of the mm-hmm. things that we brought up multiple times was communication.
Yeah.
But I feel like a part of communication, under that umbrella of communication, is understanding, mm-hmm. because we can communicate, but if I'm sitting and trying to communicate with somebody that just choosing not to understand what I'm saying, like the communication is out yep. the window, you know, yeah. and communication, not just words, like it's body language too.
Exactly.
You know, so
verbal and nonverbal.
Right. So yep. all of that falls into communication to me. So that understanding is probably one of the most important things, I feel like.
You gotta ask, like, I know you heard what I said, but like, what did you hear? What did you get from that?
Right.
Oh, and you know what? That's
what did you get from that? Like, I know you heard what I said, but what did you take from that? Like,
right.
Okay, like, what did you get from that? What did you hear me say?
Yeah. Mm. What are your takeaways?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what did you get from that? Like, seriously, like, right. I said blah blah blah, but what did you hear me say?
That's right. Because
sometimes you'll say something, you'll be like, but I never said that. And you're like, well, I felt like, see, That wasn't it.
But to that point, we had one episode we had a communication. This person is a communication expert.
Dang.
And he's based out of Canada. And what he does is he helps companies hire him. Companies, and he even has couples that come to him to help with their communication. And he said, me and Neek were going back and forth on the show, because me and her always go back and forth. And he stopped it. He said, okay, Neek. He said, you said, what did you say? And I said, well, I repeated what I said. I can't remember what I said. And he said, Neek, well, what did you hear? And then Neek said something that was not like what I said. And he was like, he said, that's the problem in communication. Sometimes you have to stop and ask the person, okay, you're upset. So what did you actually hear me say? What did you hear? Mm-hmm. What I said? Because then there is that disconnect between what I say and what a person hears, because mm-hmm. because tone or whatever, like
body language,
all that okay. stuff can determine how a person sees or views or hears.
Or even what they're feeling. Oh, what, they mad.
They ain't hearing nothing. They hearing exactly
they
what you
right. what
you know what
saying?
I'm saying? Like,
they just
so
listen to
reply. How they feeling is what they're going to determine what they hear too. Mm-hmm. So it's so many. Communication is so broad, bro. And it take practice, though.
And that's, yeah. And you got to know to talk when you cool down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't say nothing when you mad. Like, when you're angry, go ahead and just walk away. Go ahead and leave it alone.
Well.
Leave it alone.
Thank you. Thank y'all for being on. Y'all have done an amazing job. I gotta have y'all back. Gotta have you back for sure.
Yeah, I'm up in here, bro. I'm up in here, man.
All right. Tell people how they can find you.
You can find me. I ain't hard to find. Fruitious Thinking. Fruitious_thinking on Instagram. Antoine Lied on Facebook. I don't do a whole lot of social media. I'm usually like putting something out there, promoting something. But if you wanted to contact me anyway, you can find me on those two links right now.
Okay. What about you? How can they find you in the trap? It's going down.
You can find me on Facebook at Kiki Banjo. Don't follow me anywhere else. I'm only on Twitter doing, you know what I'm doing.
Foolishness.
Looking at stuff, I ain't got no business. All right.
So you on X. You ain't on Twitter. You on X. Hey.
Don't look for me, please.
Hey, you can find me on Instagram and Snapchat at The Ninth Wonder. You can find me on Facebook, Yoshi English, and on there's one more. Oh, you can find us on all podcast platforms, RELSTAT Podcast. Until the next time, y'all. We're out. Peace.